I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including Westchester County and the east end of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Senior contributor Christopher Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. We have regular contributor Alex Province of Hartford, who is excellent on food, wine, cocktails, everything you can imagine. And we have senior producer Lori Mack, who has been filling in for me on The Daily Show, doing an extraordinary job as I am on assignment for the Food Schmooze. And we have producer Jonathan McNichol. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Okay. Here's what I got to tell you, a quick story. We're going to get to food tips. We're going to get to the grilled trout, which is a secret fish to do at home on the grill. You cannot believe how delicious this is. But a quick story of what happened. I eat, you know me, I eat pasta any time of year. I try to keep it to a minimum. but I eat it in the summer, especially pesto. You know, I did it with shrimp, so there's protein in there. But I have a very special pasta recipe posted for you now at our website, and it's from Rome. This is a pasta with prosciutto, lemon juice, lemon zest, chopped up chives, butter, and Parmigiano-Reggiano cheese.
How could that be bad?
It is crazy delicious, and wait until you hear how we got this. It's at foodschmooze.org right now. So I'm in Sag Harbor on the east end of Long Island, just before, it's on the edge of the Hamptons. They think of themselves as the un-Hamptons. It is, I don't know about that because it's starting to be the Hamptons, but in any case, it is a wonderful, wonderful place. And you know, I have a place on the east end of Long Island, and so I'm there, and I took the little mini ferry over. And I stopped by one of my favorite design stores. By the way, if you're in here in Connecticut, it's so easy to jump on the ferry either in Bridgeport or in New London. Day trip or 2 days, midweek, weekend, whatever it is. So I'm in one of my favorite design stores anywhere, and it's called Susan Youngblood. And she has these astonishing lamps and chandeliers and tables and chairs from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, from all over the world. I mean, you've never, very rare. She has an exquisite eye. So I'm in Susan Youngblood, and she says that, she, you know, oh my God, yeah, I'm a Food Schmooze listener, and how amazing, because I just convinced my friend in Rome, Pier Paolo Falone, to give me his special recipe for this pasta he made for me when he came to visit.
Wow. Are you going to give it to us?
Yeah.
Are we allowed?
You bet. That's what's on the website. I'm giving it to you right now. So I convinced, I said to Susan, Susan, you have got, it is so crazy delicious, and it is not difficult at all. This is straight from Rome and not hard to make. So we printed it just as he gave it to her. So you're going to hear his email done in his very charming Italian way. So this is what I'm going to just read you a little glimpse of this so you get a feel for this. He said, Susan, you need some thick homemade fettuccine or tagliatelle. This is important because they are thick, because one feels more the flavor of the fresh pasta. Then some prosciutto, not too thick. These are slices that have to be cut in little pieces, and you mix with butter and grated Parmesan. You want fat-skinned lemons, and then the amount of ingredients he talks about. And if you like fresh chives, you can add a bit of that flavor. And so while the water for the pasta is boiling, you put the butter in a pot and you soften it with a fork that is hottened into water.
Nice.
You add, yes, and you add it to some lemon juice and some of the zested lemon skin. Thank you again, Susan, for that zester. He said it has to come out a bittersweet combination from the doses according to the amount of pasta required. You will see it's written like that on the website. And then you add in the prosciutto and, you know, it's thick sliced. So you could just go to even your supermarket or anywhere you go and say to them, I want it thick. And you're going to cube it up. And you put all these things together. It's just a mixture of things on the pasta. But he's giving you a sense, Pier Paolo, of the, and he's a great art dealer in Rome, and, you know, finds wonderful things for her, and then they meet together, and they she gets these things from Italy and all over.
And recipes in the bonus.
Yes, right.
Oh, my God. This recipe is so fantastic. So let me go to foodschmooze.org, or you can look up Faith Middleton Foodschmooze, and there you go, my
simple.
Friends. It is
Yum.
Simple, and it is killer, and it's what you get in Rome. This is what home cooks make in Rome. This is what the smart restaurant people do. They're still making the mother's and the grandmother's recipes there. So,
nice
fantastic.
Nice bottle of Chianti, a little pasta.
What now, that's Alex, lunch. What wine I'd would you serve with this?
Like a $10 or $15 Sangiovese.
You know, would. Just, so I'd just, do a rosé, Italian rosé.
Oh, I would always do a rosé.
Would you do that?
Sure.
No. Would you?
I love rosé. You and I love rosé.
This is it's exactly
would
summer.
That be good?
Especially summertime.
With the lemon.
With the salt.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I could see sitting on a porch on a Sunday afternoon. Eating this pasta with a nice glass of rosé,
or even champagne,
just loving
champagne.
The day.
A sparkling, right? Yeah. So, Alex, you come. Let's come back for a sparkling rosé would be really good. A dry rosé. So, Alex, you're saying a Sangiovese because that's a very friendly grape with food.
Here's what I say: go into my favorite wine shop and I say, I want to spend $10 or $15. I want like wholesome, inexpensive Italian. Like food wine, like a Sangiovese, you know, Chianti's a region, but Sangiovese. And then usually they're great and they'll just give me two or three $10 or $15 bottles and they all grow great with food. Just tell me what.
Or one.
Or you don't have to drink all three. You could. You could do the rosé, then the Sangiovese. I mean, that's the real way to do it.
But simple wine, simple food, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the key, right? That's a very simple wine to go with a very simple dish.
And the wine we're going to tell you about here on the show is a white, and I would actually like it with this pasta because it's a very food-friendly, versatile wine. So you can do that, too. And you know what? If you have the wine around that you have, don't even worry about it. That's what we say on the Food Schmooze. Don't worry about perfection.
If you have something open already from the night before.
Sure.
Drink it.
Okay, so all right, we have got you want to do
beer.
You
cold
want to do
too.
The wine because
sure.
this is a great one. Alex, thanks for bringing this to us.
I'm always happy to
so
bring wine.
The Côte, this is the Rhone region of France, and this is a Côte du Rhone, but it's white. Most of us know Côte du Rhone that's red. You know, we'd buy a Gigal because it's, you know, $12, $13. This is $15 and under, and this will tell you what to say. Alex, tell us about this.
That was delicious. To your point. That was a great accident. So Matt went to get, you know, the same description. We want a $10 or $15 simple French wine, and then was thinking he was grabbing the red and ended up, when he brought it home, I was like, this is a white. He's like, oh my gosh. So it went into the refrigerator, but it's called Parallel 45. It's from the south of France, from a place called the Rhone, and there's a river. And it's just a blend of like three or four French grapes. It's Grenache Blanc.
Let me read these to you. So it's Grenache Blanc. It's Marsan, which is one of my favorite grapes. Viognier, a lot of people know about that.
Yeah.
And one I don't know about, Alex, maybe you do, or Chris, Beaublanc. This is a young wine, and it is, when you go to your wine store, go to our website. It's all listed there. $15 and under. It's 2013, and it's the Parallel 45. But it's at our website, faithmiddletonfoodschmooze.org.
It's aged a little bit in oak, like 2 or 3 months. So, but that if you like Chardonnay, that Viognier has the sort of viscosity of Chardonnay. So if you're sort of getting a little bored of Chardonnay and you want to get into something slightly
without
different,
the oakiness,
a little more, mineral, less
it's
butter,
a melon, taste and floral notes.
That's citrusy. So I would even have this with pesto, believe it or not.
Sure.
You know,
I think we did
shrimp. Yep. Yeah, we did actually. So we had it with a trout. I would have it with chicken pastas.
And I'll put my vote in on this red too. This same wine, Parallel 45, the Côte du Rhone, they make a red, and it's just as good as this.
We'll buy the red by the case. And now that I've had the white,
it's funny.
I'll
I haven't had the white in a long time.
We have the coolest kitchen tips coming your way. I mean, there are especially good. And they're this time from Cooks Illustrated. We cruise our talented colleagues and, bow down to them for finding these great tips. This time it's Cooks Illustrated, and they have some terrific, terrific things. Again, all of this listed at our food site, Faith Middleton, foodschmooze.org. So you can go there. Actually, you want to start them right now, and then we'll carry it over. Right? Mm. So, Alex, what do you have?
So I've got one from Susan Siegel of Boynton Beach, Florida. And she says she loves to make big punch bowls She has friends over, but says the little conventional ice cubes to get in the, you know, freezer are too small and melt before, like, the punch is gone.
They water drinks down, and they water. This is why people go to larger cubes, right? But I don't have any of those special machines that make the larger cubes. So what's this tip?
She uses a muffin tin and then uses to,
fills,
you know,
it with water.
Fills it with water, puts it in.
And, you know, is like, that brilliant?
Yeah.
Just make sure it's really clean and there's no crusty bits of muffin left in.
What are those black bits in there?
Oh, that's a blueberry. Oh, I'll have that.
Or the oil I can't seem to get out of there.
Would that work for like scotch too? Or is a muffin too
Jonathan,
big?
Jonathan, I think it would.
That'd be one rock per glass.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, they have those whiskey
balls.
Ice cubes.
Yeah,
huge.
Those plastic balls.
We have them, but only Matt can figure out how to use them. I'm like, how do you get round thing of water?
Yeah, no, this is really great.
Great idea.
All right, let me jump in there, and then we're going to go to our break, and then we've got more kitchen tips on the other side, our trout recipes. But here it is again, Cooks Illustrated. A cookware rack, and I need one for the area that is our pantry in the, you know, in the back closet, because we can't, there's no space in the kitchen. So here's Rhonda Grace of Chicago, and she comes up with a different place to keep her pots and pans. You know those over-the-door coat racks that are white, and they're the width of the door?
Oh, yeah.
And you put your coats on them or your ironing or anything. Hang on the door.
Mm-hmm.
She puts that on her door, and then on the other side of the door hangs all of her pots on it.
That's genius.
It's brilliant.
Wow.
I would have given her the award of the week because I spent $350 on my last pot rack.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Isn't that the best? I know.
And you're always looking for a place to put them. There's a cabinet.
It's just what I need right now.
To get one pot, you got to bring them all out.
And there's a lot of clattering and banging. And
it's like you're slow cooking.
Could you imagine me?
No.
Could you imagine me? The neighbors would get pissed off when I start cooking.
Hey, we have an incredible cocktail to tell you about. We have an amazing trout recipe and other recipes in a book that will teach you how to cook. Stay with us. I'm Faith Middleton. I hope you'll make a charitable contribution to Feed the Hungry. More mouthwatering conversation and fun here on The Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. I'll be ready. I'll be
Cornbread
ready tomorrow night.
I'm Faith Middleton. The Food Schmooze Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to our talented crew, senior contributor Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, Alex Province, our regular contributor in Hartford, Eugene Amatruda, Marion Roy, senior producer Lori Mack, and producer Jonathan McNichol. We thank you first and foremost for listening. Hey, let me tell you quickly, you've been hearing us talk about the martini competition that is coming up, and I mean, it is so close to being sold out. It is every single time. There are still some tickets if you want to jump in there at the last minute. You just go to ctmartini.org. But I would like to take a moment to thank the participants in this thing, because they give you all this food from the restaurants that they make. They make these outstanding martinis that are so innovative. The Bartenders Guild competitors are in there too. I mean, it is really amazing. So really, thank you to Cure Restaurant and Bar, Doubletree by Hilton Bristol, Feng Asian Bistro. They partnered with the Hartford Flavor Company, Firebox Restaurant, Flipside Burgers and Bar, Front Street Bistro at Spotlight Theater, the Hardcore Suite. They partnered with Bohemian Pizza, Infinity Hall, Mall, Kawanee, Lime Grill, Maggie McFly's. They partner with Ripe Bar Juice. I thought that was a cool thing to do. Max Burger, Nix's Hartford, Olia Restaurant in New Haven, Plan B Burger Bar all over the place. They're amazing. Restaurant on 20, wow. Spice Catering, The Cocktail Chemists, The Half Door, The Tavern at the Armory, which is the Inn at Middletown, and Tassane Euro Asian Cafe. All of them participating. There are more, in fact. So can't wait to see you there, and thank you in advance. Okay. So Alex and I have been to a restaurant on Shelter Island, which is one of the islands where if you're going from Sag Harbor over to the Hamptons, you go from Orient, the ferry gets off when you go from New London, and then you take a short ferry over to Shelter, and then you take a short ferry over to Sag Harbor, and then you drive straight into the Hamptons.
Or you can just sail with me.
Or you
sail
can
over
sail
with
those
and
guys.
I'll
right,
bring it through
right.
The Plum Gut scare.
So there is a restaurant, because I'm at Orient Point. We go over and we eat at this restaurant. I know you do too, Alex and Matt. So this is 18 Bay, it's called. And it
That's
was
their address.
On Shelter Island. This is a great destination. It's a fixed price menu, and they give you like four or five vegetable appetizers to start. So you're already going, wow, there's more food, and they're killer good, right?
The pasta.
And then they go to the homemade pasta that the chef does with fish. Then you have your choice of entree, usually meat and fish, and then there's dessert. I mean, it's unbelievable bargain.
You sit outside, and boy, glows with beautiful lights. Like it has that everything, sort of that linen-y white with glowing orangey fire,
and those beautiful wine holders with the ice and the sporkling wine. Really
so fun.
Fantastic, and it's in a house. And so it's really kind of relaxed and terrific, huh?
We sail over, stay at Cockles, and then we'll have like a sundowner cocktail on the boat, and then we'll walk over to 18 Bay, sit out on the porch. It's so quiet. Shelter Island has that like quietness to it.
It's
so
gorgeous,
peaceful.
Gorgeous.
A beautiful dinner, and then walk back to the boat, and pass by all the farmland. It's just, I love Shelter Island.
It's beautiful. And there's a little, you can go into shopping there. And there's a woman from France who has opened the general store and started bringing in her French food. And she's got these design stores there that are really just
the whole gem.
And there are these little Victorian, and some not little, Victorian houses. And there's a restaurant there that is, André Balaz, the hotelier from France. He has this very chic hotel. You see a lot of movie stars there on Shelter, and it's called Sunset Beach, and that is so amazing.
Oh, their salad.
It's where I had my first date with my partner. Yeah, I mean, really, it's just fantastic. Head-on shrimp on the grill, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and
it is,
and it's right on the beach.
We rode
right on Long Island
bikes around and had one of those, afternoon. We started with lunch and bottles of rosé, and then just carried over to the night.
Oh, boy.
Sounds like a great summer
vacation.
Walking the bikes back to the boat.
I'm hanging out with you. Okay, so here we go. We've got some kitchen tips, and don't forget, we've got that incredible trout recipe coming your way. Chris Prosperi, what do you have?
All right, I have an interesting one, and this one is about round two with charcoal. So basically, if you have done a charcoal grill, and say you did grilled everything really quickly, what this tip is how to preserve the charcoal to use another day.
You know how when you get the ash off, there's still chunks there?
Right.
Yeah. So
I throw them out.
Yeah. So this tip, basically, don't throw them out. They put them in a can, a little
so you shake the
metal
ash
can.
Off?
You shake the ash off and it sort of extinguishes them, right? And then you can save them for another time, and they suggest putting it back in a chimney starter with fresh charcoal, so like a half and half mix, and then you're basically reusing instead of wasting the charcoal.
I love that.
Because I'm like that too. Because
you don't just
always
close it, close the bottom, close the top.
You could if you had that kind of grill, but they suggest taking it out
grill
and actually it. Yeah.
Isn't that great?
That's a great tip.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah, because I mean, you probably end up throwing away half your charcoal every year.
Here's what we've got at the website right now, because our cocktail guy, Anthony DeSario, is a Connecticut bartender, and he's working on something with Mohegan Sun right now with chemical cocktails, these wild creations. He's doing a training there now for their bartenders. He said, you know, that he knows I love a Negroni, which is a classic cocktail that has gin and Aperol, and he knows I love sparkling wine, dry sparkling wine. So he said, I'm going to make you a sparkling Negroni. So we have the recipe. This is a fabulous thing. So he's got a gin. He loves a particular kind. Aperol, which is that Italian liqueur with the bitter orange
love
notes.
It.
Then he mixed in a Fever Tree bitter lemon soda.
Wow.
Which was a great idea with the gin and, you know, at the end, and that made it a sparkling. You got really a kind of sweet vermouth Campari kind of combination, which is the classic Negroni. So he did a twist on it, and that's at our website, faithmiddletonfoodschmooze.org.
You could have that with your pasta, before your pasta,
yeah,
just
then,
as you're waiting.
Yes,
sure.
As you're standing
palate
around.
Cleanser.
Mm. All right, Laurie Mack, what do you have as a tip from Cooks Illustrated?
They did a study to figure out if you don't have a nonstick surface in a pan, what to do. So they tried to figure out if cooking spray or oil would work in the absence of a nonstick.
Peanut oil, canola oil, olive oil.
So here's a hint. The cooking spray wins. But the interesting thing is why. Because when we heat up a pan on the stove, it doesn't heat evenly. So the oil tends to pool in the cooler spots.
Oh. And that's where you put your food always, too.
Right.
Yes.
So the thing about the cooking spray is the oil that's in the cooking spray is mixed with an emulsifier.
Mm-hmm.
So that emulsifier coats the pan evenly.
And keeps it in place.
Exactly.
Huh.
Evenly
and
coats it.
And it stays. It really is a nonstick, suddenly a nonstick surface.
It.
So I have a nice set of stainless steel cookware, and I keep thinking I'm doing something wrong because I'm using olive oil, extra virgin olive oil often to cook with, and even though it has a low, you know, temperature, I don't care because I like it.
Just don't do scrambled eggs.
No,
scrambled
eggs.
That
I know.
Because you're moving the food around, and then it loses that nonstick.
I always feel like I have to spray that stuff outside because I feel like
I do too.
Don't
breathe
it all
over.
But wait, we found something that's, I think, the best thing on earth right now.
Butter.
And, no.
Bacon fat.
It's about a pan. And this takes you back to the 70s. And these pans are cheap and they're amazing. And they're the old school enameled pans, saute pans. And they are, I buy them at like TJ Maxx.
I have never seen this.
What do you mean? What is this?
Enamel. Like, don't you?
Like, what color? Like, with
an enamel.
Orange?
Yeah, see? You could buy them in
orange
and gray,
yellow.
And
like on a Dutch oven.
Yes. It's the most amazing thing.
And it's got the little, like, flower shapes on it.
No. But that's from the 70s. But the new ones are just regular sized 12 inch or 14 or 16 inch saute pan.
Like a Dutch oven, but shorter.
I bought one red. Yeah. With a white interior. Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking about.
Right. I have one of those, too.
That was it's called a T-Fal. It was called T-Fal coating.
Well,
That's something else. This is old school enamel.
You find them at tax sales for like 10 cents.
Well, I had never seen them before.
Okay, so the 70s ones, we stopped using them because the enamel wasn't adhering. If you remember back to the 70s, they used to use the chip and stuff. And now they found
just
a better
way. Just eat that stuff.
Yeah, you need to. But now they found a better way, I guess, of hearing it. And these pans are back. And they are by far the best nonstick.
How do I know which
would. Just go to TJ. Go to your local TJ Maxx and you'll see them sitting there. They're enamel pans.
Okay.
So then you use your butter and then your
bacon.
They're so good, I want to throw out my nonstick pan. That's how good
I'm going to throw out my nonstick.
And,
and
think
they can
heat
up just as hot?
Yeah. And they're like $12 to $16.
Like a cast iron.
You can take a paper towel and just wipe it right out.
And we're going to talk
eggs. Amazing.
Do they have to be like yellow and orange?
No, they're gray.
We have a gray one.
Right, we have a gray one. But they do come in colors.
What color do you want?
Red would be nice.
Oh, that's, All right.
Hey, so you know what? Chamard Vineyard in Clinton, Connecticut is doing yoga at the vineyard outside. Yoga outside around the grapevines, and then you come in and you stay for the wine. You come for the yoga, you stay for the wine. So you can contact Chamard Vineyard, Chamard, for information about that. But I think that is terrific.
That's just a perfect
once
spot.
Once before, and it's sold out.
I'm surprised they hadn't already.
Like a grapevine.
Yeah, but you have to do the yoga before the wine.
Exactly.
That's a good point. That's a good
definitely.
Well, maybe not.
My mat's moving.
Yeah.
It requires balance. So,
yeah. Right. Yeah, that too.
So I have a tip from Cook's Illustrated, and I adore this. I couldn't wait to tell you about this. This is whipped cream in seconds, not minutes, because we're so busy. So here's someone writing in, Julie LaCouture from L.A., and she says, you know, many of us have these immersion blenders. Mm-hmm. And it looks like a wand with the immersion blender in the end at very high speed. So you fill, often they come with a canister. Yeah. And so you fill that canister that comes with the immersion blender. It's you could also use a wide mouth, say, like mason jar. And you fill it with enough cream, just enough cream, so that the head of the blender is submerged. Because the cream is going to double in volume, obviously, when you whip it. So with the motor running, you stick it in so that it's just covered, and then you've got the motor running, and you just move the head up and down through the cream to pull in air, and the cream whips in 20 seconds.
I'm trying this.
Nice. Yeah, where were you last week with that? Huh?
I needed
and
that.
Way easier than the...
strawberries, you know, with strawberries, yeah. With berries, with anything you want. Your
and this is strawberry
brownies,
time.
Whatever you want to do, that is a great, yeah. Great thing to do. I have to say that they also, in Cook's Illustrated, I love when they do this, and they test out various things against each other, and there are lots of people on their panel. I like that, and they give notes and everything. So what did they said, let's do supermarket balsamic vinegar.
Ooh,
you know
one.
How
there's
I...
so many.
There are
too
so many.
Many
now.
Too many.
And I try and remember these things. So here's what I'm going to do. They actually recommended 6 they recommended,
wow.
And some with reservations, okay. In addition to that. I'm not going to do that with you, because on the list of 6, there is one that I have purchased, and the price is so right, and I'm just going to tell you that one. But you can go to Cook's Illustrated and see the variety of these if you want. But the one I'm going to tell you about is turns out to be 18 cents an ounce,
nice.
Which is great. And it's Cola Vita.
Oh, I use that.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
use that. Yeah.
So
yeah.
rather than me
too.
Giving you yeah. 7 to memorize, yeah. I think with the price point added in, and that I buy this and love this one too as a supermarket balsamic, for really good balsamic, I will drizzle on cheese or strawberries. But I don't use those for dressing.
Nope.
So I use this because I want a little acid in this balsamic. And not super sweetness, but I want a balance. This is a great one. Cola Vita, C-O-L-A-V-I-T-A. It's also on our website.
And that's in every supermarket on
yes.
the planet.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It goes on sale frequently.
Yeah.
That's right.
It can, if you have it just by itself, you think this is a little bit harsh, but no, when you start mixing it with the
olive oil
and sure. it right. starts to really come into its own and balances beautifully with the olive oil. So you've got that olive.
And we're getting into salad season, farmer's market.
Am I the only one who drinks like vinegar?
No, yeah. I love vinegar.
I love it.
You know what?
I do too.
There's a book out, What to Eat When You're Pregnant. And this is by Dr. Nicole Avena, and she is not only a mother, but is a neuroscientist, research neuroscientist at Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York City. And she's talking about what the baby likes and what the mother likes while the baby's in utero, and how to get over some of those cravings, get yeah. past them. And
I'll take that. Give
what
me a
to
little
eat when
shot
you're pregnant.
Because my chef's wife is pregnant, and they're going through that right now, what to make at home
I'm
and what she's not
you.
Liking. And
are
what
pickles
she
for real?
Yeah, pickles I guess.
Cream?
No, Brian
oh,
actually said
seriously.
Pickles are for real.
Okay. There's also a new cookbook out called New German Cooking. So it's
I
a
like
modernized version of the yeah. classic German recipes, and
foods,
that's really fun. Yeah. So here's what we've got coming your way. We're going to take a break now, but we have this special trout recipe. We have the Great Cook cookbook. And what do you see about this trout that Chris made for us from the book? It is absolutely fabulous. So it's the undiscovered fish, we think, and it's a killer on the grill. And it's not expensive. It's so, so good. Our inland friends here on the Food Schmooze know about this. They order it all the time, but not our seaside friends. So get ready for that. Please support your local food growers and food makers. You can, of course, find the food, wine, recipes, cocktails we feature at our website now or anytime at faithmiddletonfoodschmooze.org. More delicious conversation after this quick break. Please stay with us.
I keep drinking malted milk, trying to drive my blues away. I keep drinking malted milk, trying to drive my blues away. Baby, you're just as welcome to my loving. Flowers is in me. Malted milk, keep rushing to my head. Malted milk, keep rushing to my head. I have a funny, funny feeling that I'm talking all out of my head.
I'm Faith Middleton with the gang. This is the Food Schmooze Party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR. And to join the conversation with us on Facebook, search The Faith Middleton Show. Oh, I can't wait for this, because Chris just made us a dish from this book. It's called The Great Cook, Essential Techniques and Inspired Flavors to Make Every Dish Better. James Brissione is the author of this book, and he has teamed up with the editors of Cooking Light magazine. He's very interested in healthful cooking and yet preserving the natural deliciousness of things. And so we've got flavor plus healthful ingredients and styles of cooking coming together here. And also, he's giving us a lesson, taking the master recipe, which is not crazy complicated at all, and then doing a spin on it so that you learn to make it once or twice with a slight difference each time. So you could have actually the same thing three times in a row and have it be absolutely wonderful, one different from the other. I just really think this is a terrific book to teach cooking, to teach flavor profiling. Really, really good. So James has worked at Danielle and a bunch of other places. He's done really terrific things. So welcome to the Food Schmooze, James.
Thank you. Thank you. Excited to be here chatting with you guys.
Yeah. So we're all here, and we want to start with, this is a fish that we think is wildly, is so much a part of our history and yet wildly undiscovered among many people, especially city dwellers or suburbs near cities. But if you live inland, you order trout. Like Chris Prosperi's restaurant, people order, it's one of the best-selling things he has on the menu.
And I love it.
I love it the way you make it. Well, this recipe that from James's book is so delicious. And this is the undiscovered fish. We can make this at home so easily. You just go to your fish market. James, tell us, you go to your fish market, right, and say, I want some trout, or they're likely to have it.
They're likely to have it. You know, I do love trout. And you know, like you said, I mean, I think it's such a great fish. And it's not something that I think enough people cook at home. I think it's one of the easiest fish to cook at home. You know, growing up down south, you have plenty of trout. You know, even though we have our beautiful Gulf seafood, you know, once you get more than, you know, 4 or 5 hours away from the Gulf, trout is a very popular fish, and so many great ways to prepare it. But yeah, you just want to go in and ask for trout. Often they sell it, you know, as we talk about in the book, dressed, which means they've removed the head and the gills and the guts, and it's just, you know, kind of two connected fillets, which can make for a really beautiful presentation. Oh. Or allow you to do fun things like we're doing here by, you know, filling it with aromatics, lime and dill, so that they kind of perfume the fish as you cook it.
So, Chris, tell us, and then we'll go right back to James again to talk more about this. Tell us what you did to make this. We chose this together because this was not a difficult recipe.
Yeah,
and we said underused and so delicious. And people think mistakenly that trout is filled with bones,
yeah.
And it's not.
Nope.
Especially when the fish store owner, the fishmonger, you know, scales it,
yeah,
takes the head off, cleans it,
yeah.
And gives you two pristine fillets.
Yeah.
Okay, so what'd you do?
So the first thing you do, and this is what I think is the genius part of this recipe, is you make a little brine with 2 cups of water, a tablespoon of fine sea salt, and a teaspoon of sugar. And you mix that together.
I mean, how easy is that?
Yeah.
When we say the word brine, people think, oh, I have to get peppercorns and juniper berries.
5 gallon bucket.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was thinking, the big buckets.
No.
Doesn't fit in your refrigerator.
A bowl or a pan with some water and sugar.
And I love the fact that each recipe comes, or a lot of the recipes comes with these little pictorials that give you even show you the container to use, which is a little like lasagna pan. You put the water in there, you put the fillets in there, you sort of let it sit for 20 minutes. And then you just take it out and pat it dry.
And so that is brining.
That's brining.
But in its simplest form. And James, what does it do?
Well, it's the ultimate way, I think, to season fish, because fish can be kind of difficult to deal with. And if you season it as aggressively as you would a steak or a piece of chicken even, you tend to dry out the flesh. So this is a great way to season fish, help the flesh of the fish really retain moisture. You know, the whole, there's some science behind brining, which, you know, leads to the muscles actually kind of absorbing a bit of the seasoned liquid, which, you know, one, accomplishes seasoning for you, but it also makes you less likely to overcook or dry out the fish in the cooking process. It helps that flesh, that meat, stay moist once it is cooked.
Mm. And we're going to do this, as Chris did, on the grill. That's what your recipe calls for. This is the master recipe for grilled trout, and we're going to do a spin on it next. But so this is terrific. You could do this with charcoal, or you could do it with a gas grill,
and
or you could do it in your
broiler or oven or whatever.
You could do it on the stovetop also. But this case, grilled trout. And Chris, you had those beautiful grill marks on it.
And I think that the brining helps with the grilling too. It sort of firms it up a little bit and makes it a lot easier to grill than if you were to just grill it fresh.
So brining is not just for flavor. It's to help the fish retain moisture after you've cooked it, right, James?
Yeah, it gives, and like you said, gives it a nice texture. And having that little bit of sugar, you know, as part of the seasoning, definitely, like you said, with grill marks, helps with the browning a bit as well.
Chris, you put a little salt and pepper on
these. The inside.
You patted them dry, and you started your fire, and then a little salt and pepper. And on the inside, you put some dill sprigs and some lime slices.
Very thinly sliced lime.
In the cavity of the fish.
And then close it up.
So you close it back together again,
the
two fillets.
Yeah, like a trout sandwich. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you just basically put that on the grill.
But you put a little cooking spray on the outside of the fish. So
just
that keeps
extra.
It from sticking, huh? And then in the hot area of the grill, you grill it for about 4 minutes, James?
Yeah, and this is, you know, one of these kind of key techniques to grilling that I think, you know, people may not always really be aware of. It's, you know, when you set up a grill, it's not like putting a pan on the stove where you can immediately adjust the heat. Even with a gas grill, it makes it a little bit easier. But you can't just adjust the heat at will on a grill. So any chef, you know, cooking in a restaurant, when they set up a grill with zones. You have one side that's really hot and one side that's not as hot. And it's, you know, no different than getting a pan, you know, smoking hot before you put something to it and then turning down the heat immediately. It's the same effect that we're mimicking with the grill by first putting the fish over direct heat. That's the really high, hot side of the grill, so it does get those beautiful grill marks, like you mentioned, and also it's really kind of the way to make sure the fish doesn't stick to the grill, because the most common reason for sticking is either that the food is wet or the grill's not hot enough. So you get a really hot side, quickly mark it, and then move it over to the cooler side and let it, you know, finish cooking more slowly so that it does cook through and cooks evenly.
So you cooked it for 4 minutes in the hot zone, we'll call it, and then you turned the fish over and moved it to the indirect heat zone, the cooler zone, and you then cooked it for 12 minutes or so, right, Chris?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there you go, and that served four people. Salt, pepper, some dill sprigs, which you can get in any supermarket, a couple of limes that you slice very, very thin. You soaked it in a little water and salt and a touch of sugar, and there you go.
It's
you
a
have this
recipe.
Moist. It is fantastic.
And trout is not very expensive either. That's the other good benefit of cooking with trout. I mean, it's
I
not.
I can eat that once a week.
Yeah, and it's not an expensive fish. It's
I
not one of those things
more.
That you get sticker
shot.
Again.
I know. And to be honest with you, Chris made this for us yesterday, too.
Yeah.
And so we had,
2 days
we
in
had
a
it
row.
2 days in a row, and I'm not sorry. I'd have it tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Love, love, love that. Tell me the philosophy of this book. You wanted to do a master recipe, like here's how to do one main thing that's not too difficult, and then here's how to change it up a little, right?
Yeah, well, you know, as you mentioned, you know, my career has kind of taken me through a lot of things and working in some amazing restaurants, but, you know, now I am a teacher. I'm the director of culinary development at the Institute of Culinary Education in New York City.
Yeah.
So I spend my days teaching, you know, our students, our professional students who want to have careers in culinary arts, you know, in our kitchens at ICE. And, you know, that kind of led to this partnership with Cooking Light because they wanted this book to be like your own private cooking lesson, you know, at home. So, you know, I'm able to kind of lend my advice and tips and expertise throughout the book. They, you know, we have this just incredible photography set up with a master lesson. So we do take you through kind of a basic technique with step-by-step photos. And then, you know, really kind of make sure, hold your hand all the way through it, make sure you're going to really get this technique and understand it, and then give you a few more recipes to try using that same technique that kind of changes the flavors and the way we're approaching it. And I think, you know, dill and lime is probably not something that people would often put together in one dish.
No.
But they do, you know.
I didn't know about that combination.
It's simple and approachable, you know, and really delicious. So I think, you know, there's a lot of fun, you know, I know we've, you know, seen some of the other trout recipes here that, you know, pull in a little bit of fish sauce and cilantro. So, you know, kind of opening up and exposing people to some great new ingredients and some great new flavors while keeping the dishes not, you know, while the dishes aren't complicated or unapproachable, I think is really the key. It's helps everybody get excited about cooking and trying something new, I hope.
Mm. And I love the collage of pictures. I really do. It's
yeah,
that
helpful.
Visual help that people, I think, and it's not just like you have to go through these bunches of pages. I love the way you did it as like a collage of different photos that sort of give you that kind of step-by-step, the key
yeah.
things, you know, not.
You say, oh, this is what
oh,
this
yeah.
looks like.
Oh, that's
for me, so I don't have to read.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love the thing, you know, for me, for some of these, you could just take the ingredient list with the measurements and the photos.
And that's all you need.
You could cook the dish without any problem, without yeah. not even needing to read the instructions.
The book is called The Great Cook, and these are essential techniques and inspired flavors to make every dish better. It's a partnership with James Brissione and also from the Institute of Culinary Education and a partnership with Cooking Light magazine. Okay, let's do. So you did a spin on the grilled trout to make it a little more Thai.
Yes.
So what? Tell me about that.
Well, so this is, you know, very similar. So, you know, you've already cooked your trout once and you've gotten a bit familiar with it. And so now we're, you know, taking a very similar recipe but adding some new and exciting flavors to it. So we're replacing the brine here with a bit of fish sauce that gets mixed with some lime juice and sesame oil and crushed red pepper flakes.
Oh, this
wow.
is for me, this one. I mean, and that's easy. All these things are available in your supermarket. Nothing exotic here. So there is a recipe in your book where you talk about doing salmon, and then you say, look, here's how to do salmon on a plank, one of those wooden planks, and then in grilled with a mango kiwi salsa. That's a beautiful combination. I just wanted to let people know that if you want to do a combination, that is terrific. I happen to love grilled stuffed jalapenos. I can't take too much heat, but there's something about when these get cooked, am I correct on this, where the heat isn't as intense as when they're raw. Am I right on that, James?
I think they do. I think, you know, they mellow a bit, and then you've got, you know, all those other great ingredients that you're adding that really help mellow them out as well. You know, usually you've got that cheese in there. Yeah. In this recipe, we use a bit of cream cheese and cheddar cheese. So that fat really helps clear away the capsaicin, which, you know, is what gives you that burn from jalapeno. So, you know, when you're taking in a little bit of fat along with it, it really helps kind of smooth and mellow them out.
Chris, I should have given you this to go with the trout.
But, yeah. But we could have had a whole meal here.
Or we had a whole meal. We could have had two or three meals.
So this is, think about bacon and cream cheese and extra sharp cheddar cheese, plus some green onions, scallions we're talking about, lime juice and kosher salt and a little garlic, the jalapeno peppers, fresh cilantro, beautiful together, and some chopped tomato. So they've got the grill going, and you've cooked some bacon, a few pieces of bacon, and taken it and drained it, and then you make a mixture, right, James? Tell me how this goes, of the cream cheese.
Yeah, very simple. So we're basically kind of taking all of those ingredients you just mentioned, which are the filling for the jalapenos, the cream cheese, the cheddar cheese, green onions, a little bit of lime juice,
and the bacon,
some garlic, salt, and pepper, and the chopped bacon, mashing that all together in a bowl, and then just kind of spooning that into the jalapenos, which you've cut in half and scooped the seeds out of, mounting that up a little bit, and then just putting them right onto the grill. I love, of course, this time of year, and if you're going to go to the trouble of firing up the grill, why not make as many things as you possibly can on the grill? So
that's right.
We're all about that. Yeah. We're all over that kind of instruction.
Right.
So what you're doing is you put these jalapenos. You've taken the seeds out, which are wildly hot, so that's good, and you have to do that carefully. But then you've stuffed these jalapenos. You've coated that rack with a little cooking spray so nothing sticks. And then you cover and grill the peppers for 8 minutes. And the idea here is to get a little bit of a char on the undersides of those jalapenos, because that's a caramelization, and that brings out flavor.
Yeah.
Plus the cheese mixture that's packed gets a little browned, right? So there's more flavor. Oh, and then you take them out after your 8 minutes and sprinkle with that cilantro and that chopped tomato. And, oh, my goodness, that's 14 servings. But how about that alongside a grilled steak? Or grilled lamb chops, or chicken that you've done on the grill, even fish on the grill. It really just goes with anything, for no matter what season. I wanted to get to the Tuscan lemon muffins
do,
but I can't because
no.
Here's why: because we're going to come into the season where the tomatoes are coming out, and you do this great thing, which is a tomato stack. It's a salad with corn and avocado. Can you quickly run through this, because we've got about 4 minutes or so?
Yeah, certainly. This is probably one of my – you picked a good one, because I think this might be my favorite. Mm. As we've been talking about the book, this is the one I've been looking forward to most. This is actually from the section on heirloom tomatoes, and we've got, some great information about all of the varieties of tomatoes you might find at your local, market or farmer's market, fun little facts and stories about them. But what we're doing here is very simply crisping up a little bit of bacon and then making a wonderful, easy buttermilk dressing that is, really just buttermilk, some fresh herbs, chives and basil, a little bit of light mayonnaise, cider vinegar, and garlic, and mixing that together. You set it to the side. Then you char corn on the grill, so you get that beautiful, sweet, smoky flavor of the corn.
On the cob, yep.
And then we're just taking slices of tomatoes that get seasoned, avocado, and stacking those up on a plate.
You mean a slice of tomato?
A slice of tomato, couple slices of avocado, another slice of tomato on top of that, another couple slices of avocado, another slice of tomato on top of that. So you've got this beautiful, colorful stack. You've got the red and the green and the yellow.
And the corn goes where? You sprinkle it all around the plate?
Corn goes right on top of the tomatoes, gets sprinkled all around the plate, and then you spoon that beautiful dressing, that great, creamy buttermilk. It's almost like a cheat
of
homemade ranch.
That's good.
Sounds colorful,
that.
Too.
It's good.
And
this
healthy.
Is good. So, this is seriously, seriously good. Okay. Well, I love, love, love your book. I think it is so helpful. So it's called The Great Cook. These are essential techniques and inspired flavors to make every dish better. And The Great Cook is a partnership with Cooking Light magazine with James. Terrific, terrific recipes. And I think a great way to learn how to cook, because the master recipe is not difficult, and then the spin teaches you about flavors. Really nice job on this. Thank you so much for being with us. All right, I hope you'll join us again. We'd love to. Yeah, we love how you think about food and your flavor combinations and stuff, so we hope to visit again.
Great. Thank you, Faith.
Okay. The Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. We're online anytime. You can find the recipes, food products, restaurants, value wines, easy cocktails we feature, including recipes from the book we just talked about, at foodschmooze.org. Here's to pleasure, my friends, and remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.